The kingdoms of this world with all its multifaceted forces, pleasure, profit, fame, influence our values and value systems and even our lifestyle. Without us knowing it, we are already hooked into it. But if we examine, my dear brothers and sisters, the values of the kingdom of the world, it does not really give us satisfaction. It does not really give us lasting happiness. And so it is a warning for each one of us that instead of getting hooked into this kingdom of the world and all its values, why not choose the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his values? The book of Daniel presents to us a vision of the Son of Man who is coming from above, coming from clouds. This is to signify that he is from above and he is not, that is God of. And he is presented before the Ancient One, the Holy One, that is God the Father. And he is given dominion, glory, power, and authority. But his dominion, this power, authority, is not self-serving. It is not for himself. But it is a mission. The Son of Man has a mission. And you know what is his mission? To fight the beast. And who is this beast? The evil one who continues to destroy the world and society. So there is a promise. A promise is to conquer this evil one, to conquer the beast that continues to destroy humanity. But the greatest mark of the kingship of the Son of Man is that it is eternal. Mark that mark, or mark rather that characteristic. The kingship, I repeat, of the Son of Man, which later on is a figure of Jesus Christ, is eternal. And since it is eternal, all who would belong to this kingship will also enjoy eternal life. So isn't it attractive? I don't know if you're attracted to it. For me, what is eternal is more important than what is temporal. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ, as a glorious king, is coming down from above, from heaven. And again, he freed us. So this is the evil one, especially sin. So this is his mission as a king, to defeat evil, to destroy sin, which continue to devastate the life of men. Usually, when we talk about worldly king, a king in this world would destroy his enemy. Remember the word, I will send you to jail. I will annihilate you. I will obliterate you. So this is coming from the rulers of the world, the kings of the world. What is the difference between the rulers or kings of the world and this Jesus, whom the book of Revelation presents to us as a king, but his kingship is different? He would not use brute force. If the king of this world would use brute force, this king, as presented by the book of Revelation, in fact, it was very clear that according to the book of Revelation, this king is pierced. Just imagine that a king would be wounded. So it's unusual, but it's the kingship of Jesus Christ. He would suffer. He would shed his blood. He will be pierced on his side. And you know what? By undergoing this suffering, the piercing of his side, he would make all of us as an apt offering. That is, in the letter or in the book of Revelation, the author, John, used the word priest. So by undergoing this piercing, this suffering, the shedding of his blood, he would present us, his beloved sons and daughters, as an apt offering to God, the Almighty Father. So this is the unique kingship of Jesus Christ. A king who would suffer, a king whose side will be pierced in order that the evil, which is sin, would be destroyed in us, and in order that we may gain eternal life, that we may live happily ever after with our Creator in heaven. Speaking of unusual, the Gospel of John presents to us the context, the setting of Jesus' trial before Pilate. Before Pilate, the trial before his crucifixion. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You know, this question, it has a in asking Jesus as, "Are you the king of the Jews?" It connotes an insecurity on the part of Pilate. Because if he knew that Jesus would be the king of the Jews, there will come a time that he will be dethroned as king. That's why it is a question of suspicion and insecurity. But Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. Because if my kingdom is of this world, my subjects would be fighting for me. My kingdom is not about saving myself. My kingdom, I repeat, is not about saving myself. I came in order to suffer and die. So don't worry, Pilate. I will not dethrone you as king because my kingdom is not of this world." And he said that we have here a king in Jesus who will die in saving us. You know, kings, the idea of death is alien to their vocabulary. They don't want to die. That is the characteristic of a worldly king. They want to stay in power forever and ever. Take note of that. So if you have a leader who wants to stay in power forever and ever, take note of that. It's a different kind of leader. But Jesus, he is a king, but he's not afraid to die. "I am here to die for my subject. I am not saving myself. I'm ready to die for myself." And so he said also that he came, Pilate does not die to the truth. Unfortunately, Pilate does not know the truth. And what did Jesus mean when he say that "I came to testify to the truth"? The truth is simple. It is God's love for humanity. And unfortunately, Pilate do not belong to that reign of Christ, because what reigns in the heart of Pilate is all about greed. It's all about domination, become dominant to other people, subjugation, oppression. But the kingship of Jesus is all about love, to bring love to people. It is a kingdom of caring, a kingdom of service, Again, it is not a kingdom of domination. It is not a kingdom of power, worldly power. It is not a kingdom of oppression. Dear brothers and sisters, what I have said, our norm and our criteria is usually influenced by the kingdom of the world. As we celebrate the Christ the King, let our norm, our criteria of judgment, of decision, of interaction with our people, with our fellow human beings, is the values, the norm of Jesus Christ, the norm of love, the norm of forgiveness, the norm of caring, and the norm of service. Let us truly imitate our King, Jesus, who is not and me to die in order that you and me will live forever in his presence.